almost feels like we need to walk out at that point. We still have the message. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at the final benediction, the final greeting of this letter as we wrap it up. We've been working our way through this letter over the last few months, and it's become very familiar, and yeah, it's bittersweet that now we're wrapping it up. It's exciting to see where we're going next. Just as a sneak peek, we're going to be looking at Jonah, Lord willing, next week. But first, we get to wrap up this letter that is just so rich and so full of instruction on what to believe and how to live. And now we end this letter with this benediction, with this blessing. So Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading with verse 21, but before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we turn to your word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength when you raised Christ from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 21. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ, with love incorruptible. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, at the beginning of this letter, we were greeted with God's grace and peace. All the way back in chapter 1, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now at the end of this letter, we have a blessing, a benediction, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This letter begins with a blessing of God's grace and peace, and it ends with this blessing of God's grace and peace. And in a similar way, actually, in the same way, our worship services begin and end with God's blessing of grace and peace. The greeting at the beginning of our worship service is God's blessing, and the benediction, the blessing at the end of the service, frame that entire worship service. We begin with God's gracious invitation. We're at peace with God. There's no hostility. He welcomes us into his presence with his greeting, with his blessing. And then we end with God's blessing. He sends us with his blessing, with his promise of peace, love, faith, and grace. With those words, God's people, his covenant people, are reminded of the promises that they've heard in worship as they go into the world with God's blessing of peace, with his promise to care for them and bless them and enable them to do what he's called you to do. The Apostle Paul is writing from prison in chains. And he's laid out all of the truths that we need to believe, what we need to know doctrinally, first half of this letter, what we need to know, what we need to believe, and then he's told us how to live that out. And now finally, he blesses us with peace, with love, with faith, and with grace. Our theme this morning is receive the Lord's benediction. Receive the Lord's blessing of peace, love, faith, and grace. And so first, peace. Receive the Lord's benediction of peace. Right from the very, verse 25, peace be to the brothers. And the peace here is referring to the relationship between us as believers and God. This blessing of peace refers to the peace that comes from God, but also how this peace that comes from God influences and produces peace between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why this blessing, this peace is addressed to the brothers. Paul, throughout this letter, has spoken about that, the church being the household of God. This is the only time he's used the term brothers. But he's reminding believers of the peace that we have with God, which is ours, which means that our relationships with each other are our brothers and our sisters in Christ aren't relationships of hostility, but rather relationships of peace. But there's one further step here, because it's not only objective, peace between us and God, and peace between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, kind of that objective out there kind of peace, but it's also a subjective feeling of the peace that I have because of those relationships. And this all centers and comes back to Christ, who is our peace. If you have your Bibles open, Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he himself, talking about Christ here, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Jumping down to verse 16. So making peace might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. In Christ, you have everything that you need to live in peace with God and to live in peace with the people God has put in your life. God is giving you, we're praying for his strength. We saw that at the beginning, chapter 10, the strength of his might. God is giving you what you need and don't have the power to accomplish in and of ourselves or produce on our own. This peace between us and God and this peace with each other, Jesus makes that a reality. Jesus is our peace, for he himself is our peace. And the reason that that peace is so crucial is because sin separates, the brokenness of sin in this world separates us from God and from one another. Sin makes us enemies of God and creates conflicts between us and other people. It cuts us off from the two communities, the two relationships of love that we were created to live in, loving and worshiping God and having a relationship with him and each other. Think about the commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Sin breaks that, destroys that, replaces that love and peace with hostility and conflict and strife. And God's solution is sending peace. Sending his one and only Son, who is our peace, the Prince of Peace. Christ lived the life we could not live, perfectly obeying God, fulfilling God's requirements. He took the punishment that we deserved, satisfying God's wrath against my sin. He rose victorious from the grave, defeated sin and death, and he did all of this so that we could experience something that we could never accomplish or earn on our own, peace with God. And that peace with God, first of all, is the only way that we can have lasting peace with each other. It's only when the peace of God rules my heart that I can know real peace with those around me. This is the good news of the gospel. That Jesus fully and completely satisfied the Father's anger so that you and I will never again face that anger and penalty and wrath because of our sin, that hostility. You don't have to live in fear of God's anger instead of hostility. Because of Christ, there is peace. So what that means is that even on your very worst, most rebellious and faithless days, you can run to the presence of your Holy Father because Christ has accomplished peace. You can't out-sin God. That's not an excuse to go on sinning so that grace may abound, but rather a realization that this peace accomplished by Christ trumps any rebellion, any sin that might threaten to keep you from Him. Your acceptance has not been and has never been based on what you do. So why does that all of a sudden change once I sin and now I feel distant from God? You haven't been welcomed into an eternal relationship with God because you've kept His law, but rather because Christ did. And that hasn't changed. That's why the gospel is good news. We can come to our Father even when we've rebelled and sinned, knowing that we will find forgiveness because of peace. Receive the Lord's benediction of peace. The blessing at the end of our worship is an amazing moment of God blessing us with His peace. It's one of the most important parts of our worship service and probably the least understood. The challenge is that we're looking forward to the benediction, possibly for the wrong reason, because it means the worship service is done. I can go run and get my cookies, or I can go play outside with my friends. Don't have to wrestle with the kids anymore. The reason for the benediction, that final blessing at the end of our worship service, finds its roots not only at the end of each of these epistles, each of these letters, where they're wrapped up with this benediction, this blessing. But it goes all the way back to the Israelites and the high priest, Aaron, blessing God's people, putting His name on His people so that God would bless him. So what makes it so special is what God is doing. He puts His name on us and then blesses us with His smile, with His peace. Number 6, verse 22. Here's the situation. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.'" Now listen to this next part. "So shall they put My name on the people of Israel, and I will bless them." So here you have God ultimately instructing the priests to bless the people in this way. And He's saying, as you're doing that, you're putting My name on them, so, and then I will bless them. So it's a blessing. It's ultimately God blessing us as His people. To lift up His countenance means for God to smile. We would say, hey, His face lit up when He saw me with this huge smile. During the benediction, we are receiving God's smile and we are going with His peace. Receive the Lord's benediction of peace. Receive the Lord's benediction, secondly, of love. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Love and faith are closely tied together. earlier, Paul commented at the very beginning of this letter about their faith in Christ and their love towards all the saints. Chapter 1, verse 15, "For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards all the saints." He doesn't cease giving thanks for them, remembering them in his prayers. Paul has stated that Christ lived in their lives through faith, that they were rooted and they were grounded in love. You can look over to chapter 3, verse 17, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." So this theme of love, as we've seen, has been a dominant theme throughout Ephesians. And Paul is pointing and responding to certain aspects of love. First of all, it's God's love for us as his people. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive in Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 4. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, which I just read. Ephesians chapter 3. You flip over to chapter 5. To walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. 5 verse 2. So that's God's love for us. But then Paul also talks about our love for each other. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Love each other. I've heard of your faith, the love towards all the saints, Paul mentions, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Husbands, love your wives. 5 verse 25, as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. And so you have believers and their love towards each other in general. But then there's one more thing that we only have in our passage right here. This is the only place where our love for Christ is specifically, explicitly mentioned. So you've got God's love for us, our love for each other, and now in this final benediction, we have our love for Christ. Peace be to the brothers with love. You jump down to verse 24. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Now, what does that mean exactly? To love Christ with a love incorruptible. This phrase incorruptible is usually expressed as meaning immortal or imperishable, unfading. It doesn't corrupt, it doesn't decay. And it's connected with this love. An imperishable, immortal, undying love. It's a love that's not corrupted by death. In that way, it's a love that is unceasing, undying, or endless. And Paul has already shown us the unending, unceasing love of God for us in Christ. And now he's calling us to have that same love. The foundation of our love is the love that God, that Christ has for us. 5 verse 2 explains it well. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Paul's using the example of the Father's love and Christ's love as the motivation and the foundation for our own love, not only for each other, but ultimately for our Lord Jesus Christ as well. That serves as the platform for our love for each other and for Christ, his love for us. And so here at the end of this letter, not only is Paul calling us to love, God loving us, us loving each other, and loving God, but he also gives us an example of what this love looks like. He's demonstrating this love. Even though Paul is in prison in Rome, his thoughts, his care, his love is for these Ephesian believers. In light of this, he sends Tychicus. And Tychicus has been with Paul. Actually, Tychicus is someone who has been with Paul since Paul first came to Ephesus. He's possibly a convert from Paul's missionary journey to Ephesus initially. And then he accompanied Paul when Paul went back to Jerusalem, got arrested in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. Tychicus was on the boat as Paul was in chains being brought to Rome to stand trial. Tychicus was there. He's the behind-the-scenes right-hand man of Paul. But here you have Paul sending Tychicus with this letter to the Ephesians so that he can let them know and encourage them. Faithful minister of the word is how Paul describes him. So you have this expression of love. Paul is sending someone who has been with him, a beloved brother, a faithful minister. He's sending him to the Ephesians so that Tychicus can tell them everything, that he can let them know how they're doing and encourage them. Receive the Lord's benediction of peace. Receive the Lord's benediction of love. And third, receive the Lord's benediction, the Lord's blessing of faith. Now, faith is connected closely with love. Love presupposes faith, or faith is the fruit, or love is the fruit of this faith. But also, love is enlightened from the knowledge. Faith is knowledge, or one aspect of faith is knowing, and that knowing God gives understanding for the love for the believer. Paul mentions this faith. He's heard about the Ephesians' faith in chapter 1, 3 verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In Romans chapter 3, Paul says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption of Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So here God has called us, has called you to live by faith. And the challenge, what's so difficult about living by faith is because that's not our natural response. That's not our natural reaction. It actually kind of goes against our natural reaction, counterintuitive. Doubting, questioning, that's normal, that's natural. Wondering what God is doing, it's normal to think that our life is harder than the lives of others. It's typical for us to be wondering and worrying and trying to figure out what the future holds. Worrying is normal, natural, maybe not normal, but natural. Being afraid, that's natural. But faith, trusting in something that I cannot see, putting my confidence and my hope in something that I can't see, that's not natural. And what that means is that this faith that Paul is mentioning here in Ephesians, that's not something that you work up or strengthen inside of yourself on your own. Faith is a gift to you from God. You are being given something that you don't have on your own. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. So not only is your salvation a gift from God, but the faith to embrace that salvation is also a gift from God. Here's what we need to understand. God not only gives us the grace to believe for our salvation, but he also works to enable us to live by that faith. And so if you are living by faith, if you are stepping forward in faith, what you know is that God has powerfully been at work in your heart, in your life, with his grace, because that way of living doesn't come naturally for you and me. It's only by God's work within us. If your way of living is no longer based on what your eyes can see and what your mind can understand, but on God's presence and on his promises and on him providing, it's because God's at work. He's working this faith in you. And that's part of this blessing now. peace be to the brothers and love with faith. Where's that coming from? From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This peace and love with faith is from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about the benediction, both here at the end of this letter, but also at the end of worship, it's not simply a conclusion or a way to wrap things up nicely, but it's a reminder to us as God's people that we start this new week with the assurance of God's blessing, that He's the one giving us what we desperately need, that God will provide for us to accomplish all that He calls us to do. Christ's grace, faith, peace in this way isn't just for the context of the church during an hour in the morning and afternoon, but rather for all of life as we live each and every day until Christ returns. The minister raises his hands during the final benediction as a gesture of that blessing, of Christ's own blessing on His people, His promises for the work that He calls us to do. Receive the Lord's blessing, the Lord's benediction of peace, love, faith, and finally grace. Our fourth point this morning is grace. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Grace, when it comes down to it, is the gospel in one word. Even though gospel is also one word, but you know what I mean. God's unearned, unmerited favor, saving us sinners through Christ. So this grace isn't just something that's undeserved, as if we were neutral starting out with zero and God gave us this added benefit. Instead, grace is God giving us the exact opposite. The reason grace is incredible and amazing is because what we deserved, what we had earned, was death and punishment forever. And we're given exactly the opposite, eternal life, forgiveness in Christ. That's grace. What you have done, what you have actually earned, is the opposite of salvation. And God has shown you His favor, even though you deserve the opposite. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 7. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, this is a gift of God. Now, Paul wants the Ephesians, and he wants us to understand and appreciate and live this grace of God's undeserved favor. And this is the humbling and the confronting truth of the gospel, the good news of salvation, because what I do doesn't earn or accomplish me anything when it comes to this grace and salvation. Your obedience and mine can only happen because God has started this process within us of redemption, which then produces the fruit of obedience. We don't obey to get God's favor or to make Him like us. We obey because His favor has already been given to us and has transformed our hearts and has given us the willingness and the ability to obey. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This grace is not just something that has happened in the past or just a future reality that we look forward to. This is a blessing from God to you right now. We live right in the middle of what has already been accomplished when it comes to our salvation by Christ in the past and what we're looking forward, what not yet has happened. The already and the not yet. We're right in the middle. Already God has set this plan of grace in motion. Christ has come. He suffered. He's died. He's risen victorious from the tomb. God's work of rescue and forgiven didn't just begin when you first believed. It began before you even We're even born before the world even began, as we saw here in Ephesians, before the foundation of the world. He predestined us according to his glorious grace. 1 verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to sons, as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. So before the world was even founded and created, God already had your name in mind. And he worked throughout history, sending his one and only Son to accomplish your salvation. And then he placed his grace on you and wrote and planned each and every day of your life in such a way that at a certain point in time, you would hear the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond in faith with the faith that he gave you in the first place. His love for you isn't really because of you or a result of what you have done, but rather a result of who he is and what he's accomplished, God's character. It's a clear demonstration of who God is. He's granted you and me what we could never earn or deserve. But God's work isn't finished yet. His work right here and right now isn't done. We haven't heard the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Beloved, all things are now ready. Enter into my final kingdom." That's something that we're looking forward to. It hasn't happened yet. Right now, we're in the middle of those two. We're in the middle of this process of sanctification. The work of grace is continuing on. The battle with sin and temptation goes on, and it will continue until the day when we go home to be with the Lord. God's faithfulness is not demonstrated by how well we are doing, but rather his faithfulness to us is a revelation of how completely holy and righteous and kind and good he is. He remains faithful even when we are unfaithful. And this benediction, this blessing of grace, is for those who are committed to loving Christ and who need his grace in order to survive in a world that ultimately is going to hate them just like it hated Christ. That's the grace you are blessed with. Grace be with those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Grace begins this letter. And this blessing of grace ends this letter. And this benediction, this blessing, isn't just a nice way of wrapping things up. It's a blessing. The benediction is the promise of blessing for the task that God calls us as his people to do. And with this benediction, the care of our Heavenly Father is communicated with tenderness and power. We leave this worship service full of confidence and joy for what lies ahead as we are sent out with the promise of God's peace and his love and his faith and his grace. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, thanking you for the truths that we have learned and have lived throughout Ephesians. The truths of your gospel, the good news of Christ and what he has done for us. Thank you, Lord, for feeding us from your word, for nourishing our souls with the gospel. Thank you for blessing us with your peace and love and faith and grace. Lord, we thank you for Christ and all that he has accomplished. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.